The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. Star! A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Here's Miller getting it, throwing it down low. There's Besser, walks in front. Quick shot by Garland, right on save May. Rebound bounces near boards. That was a good save by Askarov. Here's Miller trying to throw it to Pettersson. Broken up by Goodrow, but Pettersson recovers. Moves into the right circle, holds it, shoots, score! Elias Pettersson has a lethal shot. And he hadn't scored a point in his previous six games, and he was minus five with only one goal in his previous 12. But now he's got two goals in the second period. This one, a 5-on-3 power play goal. It is now 4-1 Vancouver at 17:52 of the second. That was just a laser shot. No chance for Askarov there. And the power play, by the way, will continue. It'll be 5-on-4 for the next minute 28 because Ferraro is serving out his hooking minor.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're constantly getting better. We're, you know, one goal games, you know, seems like for the last month. We need to keep grinding, keep working out ways to, you know, to try to turn those one goal losses into one goal wins, two goal wins, and you know, just, you know, continue to grind and get better. I think use this little break as a reset, and come back after Christmas with fresh legs, fresh mind, and get ready for a strong push, and kind of maybe use this third period when we did do a lot of things well to get us going on the 27th.
All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome as we are now officially on the holiday break for the National Hockey League. Everyone gets a few days off to enjoy the holiday and recharge and get ready for a busy set of scheduling. Let's do a little bit of a recap as we look at where San Jose is through their first 37 games of the season. They have 11 wins, they have 20 losses, and they have 6 overtime losses. They have 28 points. They are 6-9-1 at home, and they are 5-11-5 on the road. They are 0-4 in shootouts, and in their last 10 games, they are 2-7-1. And while that does sound discouraging, I think you ask anyone who has been paying any attention to the San Jose Sharks and watching what they've seen in the month of December, even though it has not gone quote-unquote to plan, you really can't hate what you've seen from this team. That 2-7-1 record in their last 10 is the 10 games they have played in the month of December. They have an overtime win in Washington, and they have a 4-3 win in St. Louis. The 7 losses are 1 blowout loss, 8-1 to Tampa, but all the rest, they have been right there. 3-1 to Florida, 3-2 to Carolina, 4-3 to Utah, 4-3 to Winnipeg, 4-2 to Colorado, 4-3 last night to Vancouver, and then the overtime loss to the Oilers on the 21st. I think that if you take where the Sharks were a year ago, compare it to this, you're very pleased with this performance. If you compare to where the Sharks were at the start of the year when they were 0-7-2, there were signs amidst all the losing. And I think that, like you heard Barclay Goodrow talking about on the way in, there was a good effort in every single one of these games, except for the Tampa game from San Jose, in which you saw the Sharks give themselves a chance to win. And that is really what I am looking for. And I've talked about this time and time again. Are you giving yourselves a chance to win? Are you giving yourselves a chance to compete? Are you responding well to adversity? And I think overwhelmingly the answer is yes. Last night's game turned in an instant when the San Jose Sharks were, for some reason, not awarded a goalie interference call when it should have been staying at a 1-1 game. and suddenly found themselves down 2-1, 3-1, and 4-1 in very short order. And I, at this point of my life, have no idea what goalie interference is because I've seen it called in so many different ways. And if I look at that play, was there an inhibition of Yaroslav Zaskarov's ability to make the save? And I think overwhelmingly the answer is yes. And I don't know how else that rule is supposed to be applied. And I'm not even at a point where I'm blaming the officials or anything like that. I just don't know what it is. And I'm saying that because it's a legitimate problem because I don't know what it is. And this is a problem we see with all sports right now because I don't think anyone can really accurately define a catch in the NHL. I don't think that anybody really knows what traveling is in the NBA. I don't think anybody knows what the strike zone is in baseball. I think that we're all pretty confused about what offside is in soccer. There is a cynical part of me that may be onto something, that these sports like the debate that these non-calls bring about, because here I am the morning after talking about it, and a lot of people are going to be talking about it on social media, and it's going to create discussion, and people are going to be looking at it the next time it happens. And I don't know, guys. I just know that the game changed in an instant. It was a 1-1 game with the San Jose Sharks on the road, and then suddenly they go on the man advantage and then the two-man advantage. Then it's 3-1 and then 4-1, and the San Jose Sharks on the road in Vancouver against a good team trying to get right and maybe playing for their season at this moment. It was going to be hard for them to get back into that game. Now, give them all the credit in the world because they did get back into that game. The third period did feature a very strong push from San Jose as Cody Ceci finally got San Jose a second goal, 4:20 into the second period, the third period. And then Luke Cutting gets his 10th goal of the year. It makes it a 4-3 game, assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Tyler Toffoli. For Celebrini, that was a two-point night for him. But again, it's more of that idea that San Jose can continue to push and get themselves back into games. You feel like if San Jose had another 90 seconds, they would have been able to find a 4-4 goal. But unfortunately, San Jose ran out of time. But my takeaway from the game that I'm appreciating is that they didn't quit. They kept on fighting till the very end. And that's something that Ryan Warsawski has talked about since day one of training camp. No quit for the San Jose Sharks since day one. And we've seen that since day one. Yeah, there have been a couple bad losses. Tampa, Vegas, Winnipeg. Those are some of the best teams in the NHL. And that could happen to other teams in the NHL on any given night. And it has happened. There have been some bad losses for even good teams this year. So you take it in stride, you forget about it, and you move on. I just look at San Jose right now, and I choose to view the positive. They are giving themselves a chance in every single game. I mean, look at the play of Luke Cunnan right now. He continues to score goals. He's had the hot hand as of late. He is on pace for a career high in goals. He has 10 goals through 37 games. He is on pace for a 22-goal season. And I think that for Luke Cunnan, that is a very, very good sign. I think you see Cody Ceci scoring goals. He's continuing to fight. I think you see just the entire fight of the team. You're going to be happy about that. You're going to be pleased. William Eklund, by the way, we don't have an update on him. He scored a rocket of a goal after absorbing a huge hit that ended up taking him out of the game, we assume. And he's got his 7th goal of the year. And, you know, I just look at the way that he responded to a big-time play in the moment by scoring a goal. That shows the fight and drive that for that brief moment in time, he was able to shrug off the pain, go out there on the power play, and help his team get a win. You know, I saw a response after William Eklund got hit from Barclay Goodrow, which I appreciate. You see the Sharks playing collectively as a team. And while their greater collective is, at this point, not enough to win all these tight games, you are seeing the steps in the right direction. And that's something that I keep on coming back to. Are you seeing the steps that you need to see? Are you seeing the path to progress from San Jose? And my overwhelming answer to all those questions is yes. The team is what the team is. And I cannot make them a better team in short order on the ice. I cannot make them a team that wins all these tight games just any, you know, more than they can just make themselves that team. That takes time. It takes talent. It takes more, unfortunately, than what San Jose has at this point. But I think the idea is that you feel that in relatively short order, and I feel that the team could even take a gigantic leap in this offseason, that San Jose can be a team that suddenly has the ability to move into that window where they are in the playoffs. Now, I don't know if it's a championship window by next year, but I do think that they're not that far off. I mean, if you just look at these games in the month of December, and let's say you get one more on the road than you did to make it a 4-2 road trip, you could have won that game in Carolina, for instance. And let's say you take 2 out of 3 from home, and then, you know, maybe get a win out of one of these last two on the road, then we're talking about a totally different position for San Jose. And that's not to say that they would be, quote unquote, a playoff team, but is it a relative expectation you can have for next year that they might have that much better results? And I think the answer is yes. I don't think you could look at last year when they went on the road and got, you know, smashed, that you would say, oh, next year they need to be winning 4 out of 6 on the road and 2 out of 3 at home. I don't think that that was really the expectation. I think you thought maybe next year they could go 500 on the road, which they did, and maybe get some, you know, better results at home, which in this instance, a 4-3 loss, a 4-3 loss, and a 4-2 loss, they didn't, but they were still in every single game and gave themselves a chance. Now, I think that you look overall at what the team has done and the strides they've made up to this point of the season, I think that while there is relative frustration, there also is a relative sense that they are better than they were. They are an improving team. They've given themselves an opportunity. And I think that ultimately has to be your positive takeaway, because last year they often weren't giving themselves a chance to play. They often weren't giving themselves, you know, the ability to win games and get points. And yes, that can make some of these losses this year that much more frustrating because they are so close. But at the same time, I have to think that they like where they've been and they like where they are going. And I also like that I can point to just one specific situation of games in which things turned. And that last night was the lack of a goalie interference call, which led to Vancouver having a one-man and then a two-man advantage. That's where the game turned. There's really no other part of the game where I say that's where it turned. It's that instance right there. That was the game. Now, in the future, you would hope that the Sharks would have that much more pushback and would be able to respond to a situation like that. But I think that, you know, a vast majority of teams in the NHL are going to be deflated by a sequence like that. And the Sharks are not different than every other team in the NHL at this point. They are still learning. They are still figuring it out in real time. And when you don't have, you know, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl in their prime, you're going to have a hard time fighting back from a situation like the Sharks did last night. But these are the lessons that they need to learn to improve themselves going forward. All right, let's get into some of the highlights out of last night's game. It starts out with a goal from William Eklund, his 7th of the season.
Off the faceoff, Sharks have the 5-on-3 advantage. Celebrini and Eklund play catch with it. Down to the right circle. Now it's Granlund getting it back from Eklund. Now to Celebrini. Holds it. Down low to Foley. Back to Celebrini. Shoots one. High and wide. Rebound. Eklund gets it first. Near side feed back to Granlund. He holds the puck. Gives it back. Eklund shoots. Score! William Eklund gets the power play goal. 5-on-3. Take that, Vancouver. After Eklund got manhandled twice, he gets the goal, and the Sharks are up 1-0 and still have the man advantage.
Fewer than 3 minutes later, it would be Vancouver finding a game-tying goal.
Barkley in his 300th NHL game in a Sharks uniform today. Lost the puck this time. Here's Sherwood moving in. Score! So Goodrow loses the puck at center ice on a good check by Vancouver. The pass comes to the right wing side, and keeper Sherwood, who's been scoring a lot of goals lately for the Canucks, picks up his 12th of the year to put Vancouver in front 2-1 with a hard wrist shot that gets by Askarov at 16:42 of this second period.
And then we get to the point where things change.
Celebrini across the line had Smith there, but a good step up by Garland. 3-on-2 developing for Vancouver. Across the line, DeBrusk throws to the net. Kick save made. Rebound, score! Elias Pettersson getting the rebound. No chance for Askarov on the play. And so it is a 3-1 Vancouver lead with 2:52 to go. Pettersson with no points in his previous 6 games, only 1 goal in his previous 12, coming up huge for Vancouver. This is his 9th of the season, and the Canucks lead by 2 goals.
But goalie interference?
After reviewing the play, there is no goaltender interference. We have a goal.
How about that? Well, I'm sure it won't lead to the game getting even more in favor of Vancouver.
Here's Miller getting it, throwing it down low. Here's Besser, walks in front. Quick shot by Garland, right on save made. Rebound bounces near boards. That was a good save by Askarov. Here's Miller trying to throw it to Pettersson. Broken up by Goodrow, but Pettersson recovers. Moves into the right circle, holds it, shoots, score! Elias Pettersson has a lethal shot. And he hadn't scored a point in his previous six games, and he was minus five with only one goal in his previous 12. But now he's got two goals in the second period. This one, a 5-on-3 power play goal. It is now 4-1 Vancouver at 17:52 of the second. That was just a laser shot. No chance for Askarov there. And the power play, by the way, will continue. It'll be 5-on-4 for the next minute 28 because Ferraro is serving out his hooking minor.
Well, that was unfortunate for San Jose, as suddenly it is a 4-1 game, and you kind of overlooked some of what I felt was still some very nice play from Yaroslav Askarov, who is showing night in, night out now in the NHL that he is legit. And you can say, well, Ted, he gave up four goals last night. Yeah, one was on 5-on-3. Another one was goalie interference, and the other two, I didn't really take that much umbrage or put the blame on him. Sometimes you're just not going to be able to make every single save, but he did have some big ones for San Jose last night.
With now 8.5 to go in the second. Big scramble and back. Askarov is caught out of position. He gets back into the net as Hughes shoots it, save. Two great stops by Askarov. And now we've got another fight potentially starting right in the crease. That second save that Askarov made was absolutely tremendous off of Nils Höglander after that shot came in from the point just as Askarov got back to the net after getting tied up behind the cage.
Yaroslav Askarov is going to get overlooked in this game because momentum had entirely swung in favor of Vancouver, and he still made some big stops to give San Jose a chance. And San Jose kept pushing and pushing and pushing. They just didn't break through until the 4:21 mark when Cody Ceci found the back of the net.
The Sharks will get the draw back. Zetterlund holds it, slides to Ceci, walks to the circle, blasts one, saves, score! Cody Ceci rocketing that one to the net, and getting a piece of it was Demko, but it trickled through. And the Sharks are back in this game. The score is Vancouver 4, and now the Sharks 2.
The Sharks' push continued. Vancouver was able to handle it for the majority. But Luke Cunnett did score his 10th of the year with just seconds remaining in the affair.
Celebrini through center, across the line, stick handling, going into the corner, shooting it, save made. There's a rebound in front, and Cunnett shoots. It hit escape. Toffoli dishes off. Celebrini the drive, save, rebound, score! Luke Cunnett with 4.7 seconds left makes it a one-goal game. But are the Sharks out of time? We'll find out. The score is Vancouver 4, the Sharks 3, as Luke Cunnett gets credit for the goal that is goal number 10 on the season.
So the San Jose Sharks fight their way back into the game, but too little, too late. And again, like I said earlier, if they'd had 90 more seconds, I think they would have had an opportunity to get another goal, but they ran out of time, and that's just how it goes at this point for San Jose. But not a bad loss by any means. You look at one instant, a contentious instant, in which the Sharks were suddenly, you know, in a 1-1 game, then it's 2-1, then it's 3-1 with potential goalie interference, then it's a 1-2 man advantage, you're down 4-1. That's a lot to overcome on the road on the night before you have a holiday break. And I'm not saying that already crept into the team's heads or anything, but I'm willing to bet these guys are tired. And as I look around the NHL, I believe that San Jose is one of only two teams that have played 37 games, the other one being the New Jersey Devils. So yeah, the Sharks probably a little bit of a tired feeling in their legs heading into this game. And, you know, I hope that the 3-day break allows them the opportunity to recharge and get ready for what is coming next, because the challenges keep on coming for San Jose. They come back on the 27th hosting Vegas, and then they have the second night of a back-to-back hosting Calgary, and then they have a couple of days off before they have a Tuesday night hosting Philadelphia. We then get into the month of January. They host Tampa. They host Jersey. They host Vegas. They've got a couple of days off. They've got a back-to-back at Utah and then home versus Minnesota. Then they go back out onto the road. 5, Detroit, Columbus, the Islanders, Boston, and Nashville before they come back home facing Nashville again, and then Florida, and then Pittsburgh, and then Seattle to close off the month of January. And yeah, I know that that's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but you always look in the long term and you think to yourself, okay, do the Sharks have a chance to get rested and get right heading into a very difficult stretch to end the month of December? Yes. And then it's not like it gets any easier into January, but this is the grind. This is the day-to-day of the NHL season, and you have to, you know, just be ready for everything that's going to be brought to the table by all these teams. So eat big now at your own table and get ready for what comes next. Head coach Ryan Warsowski spoke after the game last night. He was asked about the progress that his team has made, and he gave an answer that he himself said he felt a little repetitive, but I think there's a lot of truth in what he says.
Yeah, for sure I do. You know, I think we're starting to see what our identity is. Our consistency has been the issue. We're in hockey games. We're learning how to win, all the things that I know I sound like a broken record when I say that, but I thought we did, again, some really good things tonight. There was a four-minute stretch that the game got away from us. We started chasing it, but I think from training camp to now, we're seeing improvement individually and collectively. We've come a long way.
And I think that has to be the main takeaway, is that the Sharks have come a long way in a very short period of time. And the record, again, does not always indicate where the team has been able to progress, because you just don't see that many wins, but they are well ahead of their pace of where they were a year ago. If you take the 07-2 start out, it's not the same context overall. And I know that it's got to be taken into account, because the record is what the record is. One of the great truths of sports is that your record does not lie. It may not tell you every aspect about how you got to that record, but those wins, losses, overtime losses, you own every single one. They're part of the narrative of your season. And for San Jose, they've got to continue this progress that they've shown up to this point of the year into the second half of the season. And not that I'm expecting them to make some great run, not that I'm expecting them to really, you know, be some amazing team, but I do think that you have an idea that they can be better and better and better going forward. They have the opportunity to get wins against teams that I don't think we previously saw them beating. They have the opportunity to get wins against teams that are of the upper echelon in the NHL, as they've shown already up to this point, beating the Kings, beating Washington, being right there in games with Winnipeg and Colorado and Edmonton. They can play with just about anyone. The ability at this point is whether or not they consistently do it from one shift to the next, because those other teams that are at a higher level, that have a higher level of talent across the board, if the Sharks have a bad shift, the opposition can take advantage. And that's not to say that the opposition won't have a bad shift, but the Sharks don't always have the ability to take advantage the same way that the best teams in the NHL do. Warsowski was also asked about Macklin Celebrini taking the loss hard after the game. He spoke a lot about his turnover that led to the first goal from Pettersson. Warsowski was asked about what he says to Macklin in this situation.
You got to learn from it, and you got to move forward, and he will. And he understands the importance of making mistakes and learning from them. We've seen that all year, so I'm not too worried about it. I think he gives you everything he has every time he's on the ice, and that's a special player that's learning how to play. He's 18 years old in his hometown. There's probably a lot that goes into playing tonight, and that's, you know, what being a human being is a lot about too. So we got to be there to help him. He's going to learn from it. We'll work to get better at it.
I don't hate what Macklin Celebrini is trying to do in his moments of creativity to make something happen, because I do think that in his future, you are going to see these moments where Macklin Celebrini does turn it into something better, or does turn it into something more than what we saw up to this point. For Macklin, he has also got to learn, though, on the other side, when and where he's going to pick his spots, of when he's going to try and do something, of when he's going to make something happen, when the game situation calls for it, when it doesn't call for it. And that is a learning moment for him, because there are times when he does make these incredible moves and present a goal scoring situations, and everyone just kind of, you know, shakes their head, like a couple games ago when he went behind his back off the boards and turned it into a goal scoring opportunity. He has skill that is pretty rare in the history of the game of hockey. He has vision that is rare in the history of the game of hockey. I see him doing things and trying things that just not everybody else in the NHL is capable of, and I'm fine with that. But he also needs to learn when is the appropriate moment. He tried to go behind his back the other night against Edmonton. It led to a turnover that led to Edmonton having the puck, and then they won the game. And right before that, I said, here's the important thing. Don't give the puck over, because you won't give it back. And then they lost. Now, I understand Macklin is going to try and make things happen. There is a risk-reward thing going on with his game. He has to learn when he can play that risk-reward aspect of his game. I don't have a problem, again, with him trying it. I think it's just him learning when he's going to try and do something, and when he's going to try and make something happen and push it and try and just overall figure out what his best moment is. We know that Ryan Warsowski talked to him earlier in the year and said, okay, you got to figure out you know, your correct moments of what you're going to do and what you're going to try to do and when you need to skate through defenders and when you need to kind of be conservative and play it safe. He is figuring that out in real time. That is part of the process for Macklin Celebrini. As amazingly skilled as he is, he's still just 24 games into his NHL career. Give it time, guys. Warzo was asked about how he should talk to Macklin about writing that line, though, of when and where to pick his moments to try and make something happen with his creative playmaking ability.
No, like, you have to understand what's going on in the hockey game. You have to understand where you are in your shift. You have to understand who you're up against. You have to understand and feel the momentum of hockey games. And he's learning all those things. And not just him, our whole group, Will, our younger players, because that's what the difference of winning and losing usually comes down to. So it's not just going to be overnight that he figures that out, but he's gotten better, him and our group. But we have to have a little bit of more focus level of certain situations that are happening during games. And I'm not going to take the stick out of his hand. He's got to be able to go make plays, but he has to be smart in when those decisions come arise.
And he's right about the entirety of the team, too, figuring it out. We focus so much on Macklin Celebrini individually, but it's also the team collective. It's also everyone that figures out how they are going to put their best performance out there on the ice, when they're going to take risks, when they're going to be conservative, when they're going to manage the game, when they're going to be aggressive, when they're going to ride the momentum. Those are all things that a team like the Sharks is figuring out. And part of that narrative is that not all these guys are going to be part of the team that learns it all when we are talking about the end of the season. There are going to be players that are not here at the end of the year. There are going to be players that are not here next year and the time after that. I mean, we're talking about a core group of guys that are learning in real time, because I think the Sharks are obviously still a work in progress. This is not going to be the roster that's part of what they are when they're making it to the playoffs in the future. But these young guys, you know, your Will Smiths, your Macklin Celebrinis, your William Eklunds, your Fabian Zetterlunds, your Shakir Mukhmudulins, Yaroslav Askarov is part of this conversation as well. These guys are all figuring it out, and you're going to see more additions to this squad. You know, next year, I imagine we're going to see Quentin Musty and Luca Cagnoni, for instance, maybe a Colin Graf, more and more of these players that go into what the Sharks will become in the future. But ultimately, you've just got to be able to say, okay, learn. Learn right now, because, and I hate saying this, but these games are not the important games. The important games are seasons away from now, of when the Sharks are going to be in big-time moments, are going to be in big-time games, are going to have big-time decisions to make. Right now, the 24-25 season for San Jose is part of the rebuild. And while the talent level out there at times looks like it's well ahead of the pace for the rebuild, it is still a rebuild. You've still got to allow these guys to figure it out in real time, because it's still part of the process that gets them back to those big games. They're not in the big games as of yet. The games matter from a learning purpose. The games don't matter from a win and loss purpose. Maybe my favorite answer from Ryan Warsowski in the post game was when he was asked about the goalie interference call, and he sounded like just the rest of us, while also bringing up, hey, you know what? I just got fined, so I got to be careful.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I mean, I just took a big fine, so I don't know if I should say anything too crazy, but it's just, there's a little, I'm a little confused of what we watch every single one, and I need to get a clarification of why, because we have it as goalie interference, so I got to figure out why that's not goalie interference, because we watch every single one from every single game that are close, non-close, so we got to look at it.
And that's my point about the goalie interference call, is no one knows what it is. Every time it comes up in a game, I have no idea which way it's going to be called, unless a guy literally picks up a goalie and throws him to the ground, right? But every other situation where you think, okay, that looks like goalie interference, I think that their ability was impeded, or, you know, they're way too much into the crease, or whatever way we're looking at it, I just don't know how it's going to be called. And that to me feels like a problem, but I don't know. I mean, that's for greater minds to figure out. I am biased, but also I've seen it called against the Sharks before and said to myself, yeah, that's goalie interference, probably should be goalie interference. And when they don't get it called, it's like, well, got away with one there. So, you know, you hope that it goes both ways. And you'd rather have these come now in a season that is not ultimately as important as the seasons that are to come for San Jose. All right, we are out of time. Have a great holiday, everyone. As I say every single year, don't drink and drive. Be safe, be careful, and enjoy yourselves, because this is going to be a wonderful holiday. And then we'll get back to some more great Sharks hockey on the other side. So happy holidays to all. Be safe, be merry. Let's all enjoy as much San Jose Sharks hockey together as we possibly can. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.